This is Mae Brussel, and it is side two of broadcast number 814. Getting back to the article that was in the San Jose Mercury and also the Boston Globe, January 19, 1987, this Ben Bradley recognized the fact that the same people named in a suit filed in May of 1986 were, the suit was naming the persons involved with drug traffic in Southeast Asia, and The article says that the affidavit says that Theodore Shackley and his deputy, Thomas Kleins, were sent to Laos by the CIA in the mid-1960s. This is the Christic Institute affidavit. They helped forge an alliance with the Hmong tribe members and helped the Hmong faction of General Van Pao gain monopoly on opium trafficking. The Van Pao faction was enlisted by the CIA Army in Southeast Asian War. From 73 to 75, the Christic Institute says Shackley and Kleins were stationed in Vietnam. They directed the Phoenix Program, carried out thousands of assassinations of village mayors, civil servants. And remember, Oliver North says that he'll tell lies to save lives, but he's used people who worked with the Phoenix Project and were involved in intense flow with Vang Pao opium money. That's part of the affidavit of the Christic Institute, but then the investigation went further after they had filed the suit in Florida, and the follow-up was now that this opium dealer from Southeast Asia is making tapes, and he's mentioning George Bush, the Australian bank, which is the Nguyen Bank, Mr. Armitage, the deputy under Caspar Weinberg of the Defense Department, and he's also mentioning connections not only to Bush and the CIA, and the Defense Department, Theodore Shackley, a partner of with Thomas Kleins, of Secord and Hakim, the two people who would form a government within a government without any member of Congress knowing it or any intelligence agency or necessarily not the president. These people are a hair breadth away from the White House. Now, George Bush is linked to that group. He's also linked, and so far he's gotten away, but I don't think this will continue. He's refused to come before the Congressional Committee, at least for the time being, I suppose, but he's very closely linked to Felix Rodriguez. I've had many hours of broadcasts on that, and last week there was an article that I shared with you on World Watchers. The week before, the $10 million in cash went to the Contras through Felix Rodriguez, otherwise known as MASH, Max Gomez, who worked in, and this is very important, who worked in Bolivia with Klaus Barbie, helping with the death squads to kill Che Guevara, and he was a person who was named just a week and a half ago by Newt Royce from Newsday as being part of a $10 million in cash that went to the Contras. The San Francisco Chronicle had an article several months ago, April 27th, North allegedly used ex-CIA men for their flights down to El Salvador. Again, that was Felix Rodriguez. He was close to Donald Gregg, the National Security Advisor to Vice President George Bush, and Gregg had an open door, as did George Bush, for Max Gomez dash Felix Rodriguez. And these stories about the $10 million going to the Contras are surfacing now. They've been out since April. And I understand this week that Mr. Felix Rodriguez made a deposition on the drug dealing. Warren Hinkle had an article in the San Francisco Examiner a week ago, the CIA cocaine, and this may be one of the nooses around the president's neck. I'm not going to share the article in detail with you. It's a very good article on the CIA Southeast Asia and their secret war in Laos and their mercenary army and opium farmers in Air America and how good old Uncle Sam was using these cocaine people and CIA airplanes. And so the San Francisco Examiner Sunday's editorial page had an article on that. And as I say, July the 7th, I read that ex-CIA men will testify on the Contra drug links. So he's very familiar with them. This is the man who had access in and out of the White House to Ollie North, to George Bush, and to Bush's assistant. There's also an article, May the 6th, 1987, Carlos Letter Rivas, accused of heading a cartel responsible for 80% of cocaine in the United States, said he's willing to cooperate with drug authorities, and he wrote a letter in March to Vice President Bush in an attempt by letter to manipulate the system and send a letter to Bush. Now, Carlos Lederivas is the head of the Medellin cocaine cartel. And now I want to go on to that that subject because of a very, very important article or series of articles that's been in the LA Times just recently. But George Bush, in summary, and don't forget, is linked to SCIA director, the Nguyen Bank, the opium deposits. He's close to Max Gomez and has the blessings of Vice President Bush, this fellow to go in and out of the White House. And this has come through various testimony of people whose names I put on the air. There are many people named as defendants in the Christic Institute whose names are appearing now in other ways, and one of them particularly I'm going to get to right now. I just want to say that Victor Marchetti, formerly of the CIA, wrote a long article for Spotlight, May the 11th, 1987, titled U.S. Spies Face Drug Charges in Iran-Contra Arms Scandal, Explosive Tidbits Leaking. And this is they have a list of the Christic Institute plaintiffs and the defendants and the drug dealers, and what was formerly leaking out to the somewhat leftist groups and the alternative system, talking about the Christic Institute, is now making the far right, the middle, the left. And there was a long article in the Los Angeles Times in the main news section just today, or yesterday rather, Sunday's paper, on the Christic Institute, so that it is seeping into the mainstream of, as I say, the right, left, and everywhere else. The role of Eden Pastora, Commando Zero, the plans to kill Louis Tams, the ambassador, and the one that Victor Marchetti wrote for Spotlight has big black letters, CIA called murderers and drug dealers. And again, always the secret team of Secord, Shackley, Klein, Hakim, the people that came out of the Audubon Bolshevik Network in Los Gatos, California. Now, the article that really is the most interesting, they're not, each one is valuable in its own sake, but they're not equal to the one I'm going to share with you now if you're long listeners. If you're not, I'll go into detail as much as I can for the remaining time of this program, but this is an article that I've been waiting for a long, long time. It's titled One Man's Word Against the World's Most Dangerous Cocaine Cartel. The one man, his name is Max Mellmerstein, and he's an engineer who lived in Florida and allegedly was living off of a $30,000-a-year consulting fee. The U.S. government picked him up as a distributor of international cocaine, $360 million worth of drug in Florida and in Los Angeles he was distributing. He knew the book, he knew the chapter on at least five bloody killings. He acted as one of the primary operation chiefs in the United States for Colombia's largest cocaine cartel. The law caught up with him June the 5th, 1985, and it was May 29th, 1986, 1 year later, that the Christic Institute filed their lawsuit naming these people as murderers, drug runners, CIA, the very people whose names I mentioned at the beginning of the program, many of them walking in and out of this whole group of the secret team. So 1 year after Mr. Mellmerstein was picked up, the suit was filed, and they have defendants in, not defendants, Mellmerstein is a partner with several defendants from the Christic Institute suit. But this is a triage that comes together with another part of the triangle that is really very, very interesting, and I'll tell you quickly what it is. And read in the article, Max Mellmerstein works not only with persons involved with the people named in the Christic Institute of the drug trafficking, but the LA Times said that the federal prosecutor said it was the investigation into the automaker John DeLorean's alleged cocaine dealing that that brought charges that to Mr. Mellmerstein. The Los Angeles prosecutor said that Mellmerstein for years was involved with one of the men DeLorean was accused of dealing cocaine with. Now, we'll get on to DeLorean and some past broadcasts I did of his cocaine coming from Claus Barbie, because Max Gomez-Felix Rodriguez, with access to George Bush, who's now named by Bo Gritz, and the persons over in Burma, the drug king, as part of the Nguyen Bank, the people involved with this scene from Bolivia and the cartel, the cocaine cartel, do now link up to the Christic Institute and George Bush and the Barbie connections because of the closeness of Mr. Rodriguez with Klaus Barbie in Bolivia, and now he's giving an affidavit on his drug connections, giving $10 million of cocaine to the Contra. The article said that Mr. Melmerstein is probably the most single valuable government witness they ever had. He's given testimony to grand juries in New Orleans, Miami, and Los Angeles about the Medellin-Colombia cartel. And remember, profits from this also went into E.F. Hutton, where the brother-in-law of the vice president, Scott Pierce, was chairman until just a few months ago, and also into Merrill Lynch, where Donald Reagan was Secretary of the Treasury and then Chief of Staff in the White House. The article says, as a result of Melmerstein's testimony, indictments have been returned against Fabia Ocha Vasquez, believed to be head of the Ocha family operations, the Medellin Group, Pablo Escobar Gaviria, a former Colombian senator who heads the Gaviria drug family, and Rafael Cardona Salazar, the elusive drug kingpin. Together, the Medellin cartel families gross $7 billion a year into the United States. These people have been involved with the shooting, the murder of Adler Barry Seal. Now, Adler Barry Seal was a person who was supposed to be photographed blaming the Sandinistas for drug traffic, and then he gave an affidavit or several affidavits to the plaintiffs in the Christic Institute suit, Martha Honey and Tony Abergan. And Mr. Melmerstein said that he had told the federal officials in advance of the shooting of Mr. Adler Barry Seal. He had warned them that he was going to be murdered. He warned the United States officials, just like Edwin Meese warned Oliver North that he was going to come in the office the next day, and North had time to shred the papers. Melmerstein warned the U.S. officials that a Medellin cartel contract to murder government witness Adler Barry Seal, is really his name, helped convict the three Colombian nationals arrested when Seal's bullet-ridden body was found outside Baton Rouge. Now, he was found outside of there, but the contract to kill him came after he testified. The article said Seal had testified in 1985 against a number of top Medellin cartel leaders, including Jorge Ocha Vasquez. That's one of the defendants in the Christic Institute, as well as Pablo Escobar. And Seal was murdered, and Melmerstein told the law officials there was a $500,000 deal to kill him in the United States, $1 million if they could get him back to Colombia alive. And the agents went back to Mr. Melmerstein's home where the bullets were tested before he was murdered. Now, the article goes on, the federal prosecutor said Melmerstein has been more and more involved with the cartel, working directly under Rafael Cardona Salazar, who reported to Jorge Ocha. He was responsible for working out the logistics of drugs to the United States and into Los Angeles, and there we get to the DeLorean connections, and arranged flights and location drop points, which again has to then go to William Hetrick and the people around John DeLorean. And the article then goes on, he had sent in approximately $360 million of cocaine in the year, the time that he was heavy into the traffic. He started in 1978 and was arrested in 85. And federal prosecutors said it was, again, the investigation into the automaker John DeLorean's cocaine trafficking activity charges, on which he was ultimately acquitted, that led him to Melmerstein, that led the federal officials to Melmerstein. And the Los Angeles prosecutor said Melmerstein for years was involved with one of the men DeLorean was accused of dealing with cocaine. So if Mr. Gomez Rodriguez is giving affidavits or testimony about the Medellin cartel, and he has those links into the White House with George Bush, he has the landing Air Force Base, the Defense Department Air Force Base in El Salvador, he works directly with the associates of the vice president, he's very close to Mr. Gregg, and that team, he's very close to Oliver North, who flew down there, and he's now signing these depositions that of his $10 million to the Contra in drugs, and he comes from Bolivia, where he worked very closely with Klaus Barbie and the cocaine traffic down there, and it ties into the secret team that the Christic Institute has named that was set up in 1959 by Robert Mayhew that were involved in political assassinations, drug running, gun running, and have been together a long, long time. Now, this past week, July the 9th, there was an article in the San Francisco Examiner. Italy's legendary right-winger denies terrorist bombing. That's the title of the article. Also, Francesco Pazienza, a good friend of Michael Ledeen and Alexander Haig, is in jail in Italy for these same charges. These are about Stefano Della Calle. I've done many, many, many broadcasts on this person. For those of you who have those broadcasts, this will ring a nice familiar bell. Some of the material here. For others, I'll just explain it the best I can. The article said, 3 months ago, the Venezuelan authorities delivered over a 51-year-old Italian. The man is Stefano Della Calle, the reputed Black Pimpernel of international right-wing terrorism. He's been on the run 17 years. He has been charged for involvement in 2 bloody bombings, a murder, and 2 attempted coup d'etat in Italy. And those involved persons linked to the American political assassinations in this country, but I won't digress on that now. Della Calle said he has worked with secret services of countries, the official government agencies, with right-wing death squads, with Nazi groups in Latin American countries, and with the ultra-right patrons on both sides of the Atlantic. He's been accused with the involvement in a 1969 bombing in Milan that killed 16, and also the Bologna bombing that killed 85 people in 1980 at the train station. However, his testimony raised more questions than it answered, and you can believe it would. Neatly dressed in his brown suit, he avowed his devotion to the ultra-right-wing cause, and see if this thing sounds like Oliver North, because North worked with these teams, the ultra-right-wing cause. He detailed secret trips to Italy, travels to Spain, to Portugal, to Argentina, to Chile, Bolivia, and elsewhere, and he had a close friendship with Klaus Barbie. And, of course, Barbie's death squads, again, are Mr. Max Gomez, who is giving at least $10 million to the Contras, who's affiliated with Bush. Bush is being linked by these strong conservatives, such as Bo Gritz, and these drug dealers in Southeast Asia to the Nguyen Bank, which also goes to Shackley, Kleins, and Secord. The web is getting just a little bit closer, but back to Stefano Della Calle. The bombs that he dropped in Bologna and other places in Italy were placed, he said, by the Secret Service. He thought it was done to unload the responsibility for the attacks and blame the right wing. But the truth was that they were dropped there to blame the leftists and the communists and parties such as the Red Brigade that were set up by the Super Sismi in Italy to come down on the leftists. As for Klaus Barbie, that gentleman who just got a life sentence in France, with whom Della Calle allegedly worked in a paramilitary and drug protection squad called Fiancés of Death. I knew Barbie. All La Paz knew him and knew who he was. He's a man of great intelligence, and I'm happy to have met him. He denied taking part in military death squads run by Barbie, although Max Gomez did. He's wearing the armband of Che Guevara. He said he wasn't part of those death squads, but he was part of a group to protect the cocaine barons, the regime of General Luis Garcia Meza. Stefano Della Calle is one of the legendary figures of Italy. He emerged after the Cold War as an anti-communist in a movement following the defeat of Benito Mussolini, an activist since 1950. He helped create the strategy of tension with Otto Skorzeny, who worked with our CIA in the 60s and 70s, whereby neo-fascists attempted to cause enough chaos that their eventual seizure of power by carrying out attacks and provocations would be blamed on the left wing. Now, Operation Chaos in the United States in 1968 to 1972, when Watergate came out, was run under the direction of Richard Nixon and Robert Mardian. Robert Mardian's attorney at Watergate was the same Mr. Green, who represents General Secord. And the Operation Chaos, the COINTELPRO program, the strategy of tension, was starting and building up with Ronald Reagan as governor in California from 1966 to 1974, and Richard Nixon in Washington, and they were setting up the Garden Plot and the Marshall Plot that Oliver North has been working with Edwin Meese and the Federal Emergency Management Administration. The article says Stefano Della Calle fled Italy in the 1970s. He worked for the Spanish and Portuguese secret police. He was friendly with the Argentine dictator Juan Perón, then exiled in Spain. He managed clandestine trips to Italy, too. And from Iberia, he went to Latin America in 1974, where he met Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet and ended up working for Pinochet. And, of course, Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins and David Atlee Phillips and our top CIA people were instrumental, particularly with the corporation ITT and its chairman John McCone, former director of the CIA, in putting in a military dictatorship into Chile. And once it was in there and Walter Rau from the top Nazis could put on their armbands, this team were in business, and Stefano Della Calle in Argentina was sending people to Central America until the time of the Falklands War, training those freedom fighters. Oliver North says, "I do this to save lives. I will tell lies to save lives." And I want you to know that he was working with Stefano Della Calle, with Augusto Pinochet, with the Argentine death squads. And this article concludes, Della Calle reportedly returned to Argentina once Perón resumed the presidency in 1973, and he helped establish Perón's personal AAA death squad. He shuttled from Argentina to the Chile that we put in power, to Bolivia, to the Klaus Barbie that the CIA protected until he could be doing his cocaine work, and he shifted around Latin America and took trips back to Italy, and he was involved in a long list of clandestine dealings with right-wing regimes, secret service, death squads, and drug barons. In his testimony this past week, he said about his global travels, he only carried out politics. He has the same mind as Oliver North, the new American hero. And now I want to just share with you, there isn't that much time, some outlines I did for broadcasts. I'll go through a few of these names because the secret team came out this past week with Oliver North, and these people come, Hakim and Secord come from the Otto von Bolschwing organization that was originally set up. And in 1983, August, that's just about 4 years ago right now, this coming month, I had four broadcasts on this secret team, how they were set up, the links of the office of Arthur Lyman, Simon Rifkin to them, of George Bush to the Nugenhan Bank, to narcotics traffic, to John DeLorean and the Klaus Barbie money, and to persons involved with what is identified as the secret team now through the testimony of those witnesses. I've given you their names, and you could hear it on the screen yourself or read your papers. And with the new evidence coming out of the drug connections, I had detailed diagrams and charts with the sheets that accompanied broadcasts, 608, 609, 610, and 611, 4 weeks in August. I won't have time for all of them now. I'll start with program 608, August the 1st, 1983, 4 years ago. On the left is Anton Fritz Kramer, Henry Kissinger, the Counterintelligence Corps, and Klaus Barbie working with top Nazis from 1945 to 47 when Kissinger goes into Harvard. Over in this chart of this same date, I have January 1955. Otto von Bolschwing came to this country in 1959. Helene von Damm came to this country. She made all appointments in the White House when Reagan became president, both for the 1981 administration and the 1985. So she worked with Oliver North and Secord and Hakim. Hakim knew her from International Imaging, and I understand from one article she, in Vienna, was working with Hakim with their dummy fronts. And I had a 1968 to 74, Reagan was governor in California with von Damm as his secretary, while she was the translator for Otto von Bolschwing for Transcomputer Investment, TCI. And then I mentioned how she married Christian von Damm, who she kept his name, and she was in Sacramento with Reagan, and he went down to La Paz, Bolivia, became vice president of Bank of America at a time when Klaus Barbie and Mr. Gomez and the cocaine Nazi armies and the Gestapo were training death squads. And then the third part of this diagram I did 4 years ago, they did 1981 to 83, had to do with 20th Century Fox when Marvin Davis bought it. And on the board was Gerald Ford of the Warren Commission and William Rogers of the Challenger Commission, law partner William Casey, and also part of the 20th Century Fox investment, 50% of it, with Marvin Davis, a big hunk of it, was Mark Rich, and I mentioned several weeks ago that Mark Rich has been involved in shipping oil to South Africa by way of Brunei using Japanese ships to hide the limit that South Africa isn't to get the oil. He's involved in that. And 30% of Fox was bought by Marvin Davis, 50% by Mark Rich, and 20% was owned by Chris Kraft Corporation, the attorney for Chris Kraft being Simon Rifkin. Also, he's the attorney for the Sterling Bank and for Michele Sindona's Vatican Bank. And there are articles and that link Michele Sindona and Robert Vesco of this Iran-Contra affair with a linkage to the attorneys and Willard Zucker, the financier in Switzerland, and he's in Cuba with Fidel Castro. The Vesco connections are very strong, and they're also linked to a man named David Graver. On a broadcast, it was in August, the fourth of that series, where I diagrammed the money. I had program 610. I had listed the over the top, the main institutions or persons with missing money, drug money. In one column, the Nguyen Bank of Australia, and that goes into Theodore Shackley, Edwin Wilson, the Bay of Pigs Group, those are the defendants in the Christic suit, the CIA Army Intelligence Task Force 157 with George Bush, and $50 million to $1 billion was missing in 1983. Under that clause, Barbie and a $7.5 million he wanted from DeLorean, and I listed his connections as Cocaine King, dealing in heroin, and with the Bolivia death squads and the banks in Zurich, Switzerland that took the money, and his relationship to people in the Bay of Pigs who are also active. Their names are tied into the Iran-Contra affair. And then the next name was John DeLorean. And you see, this Mr. Melmerstein case brings up DeLorean's links to the cocaine cartel that worked out. The cocaine came from Bolivia and Colombia. It was combined. One was grown and the other was processed. And I had John DeLorean's connections, and now you see in the L.A. Times this week that DeLorean, one of the drug dealers he worked with, is part of the Medellin cartel that links to the Iran-Contra people that worked with Oliver North and Robert Owen out of the White House and General C. Court. And the main point is Albert Hakim, the secret team that can take government weapons or government investments, and the Nguyen Bank had investments from GIs from Southeast Asia, and keep these monies for themselves and not tell the president. They don't have to have a finding. They're not part of the CIA. Setting up their own Swiss bank accounts, Panama banks, Cayman banks, killing heads of states, killing people in the way of drug information, or people like Adler Berry Seal who are giving affidavits about drug dealers. They could kill them off. And I have John DeLorean in that setup. And next to it, Licio Gelli of the P2, part of the Banco Ambrosiano, the money missing, the billions gone out of the Vatican Bank, and Paul Marcinkus in 1987, is wanted by the Italian government, won't step out forward. And I linked Ronald Reagan and the P2 and Licio Gelli, who was at his inauguration, as part of this same team, and also Mark Rich, again, the man working with the Sultan of Brunei and the Japanese government. I had him fingered with persons in Hollywood and the law office of Simon Rifkin and Arthur Lyman, the Michele Sindona connections to the Sterling Bank. I had that column. And then next to that, the LAPD file, the computers and blackmail of Larry McDonald. When this was in August of 83, and Larry McDonald was dead 4 weeks later after this broadcast came out. And I linked him to Henry Kissinger, William Rogers, and to banks in the Netherlands Antilles, and to Otto von Bolschwing, and again, the von Bolschwing network, the Western goals that Larry McDonald headed. When he was dead 4 weeks later, went to the Eastern Division, run by, on the board, John Singlaub and George Patton III and Edward Teller and Admiral Thomas Moore and a lot of the right-wing John Birchers, and that became the Spitz Channel organization. He took over Western Goals, and Linda Jewell, the G-U-E-L-L, the secretary for Larry McDonald, is still the secretary at Western Goals. And then among this list of persons and missing monies, I had David Graver, the $17 million out of the American Bank and Trust. He was supposed to have died in an accident, or airplane accident, over Mexico. And I linked him to James Earl Ray, and Graver was the one who introduced Ray to Rowell And I made the connections to the Martin Luther King assassination, which go back to Larry McDonald and Western Goals. And David Graver is in the book Tennessee Waltz. There's a whole lot of that in James Earl Ray's new book that just came out. I just mentioned on the air last week or 2 weeks ago. And I had listed his connections to the Israeli banks, the Israel Bank of Tel Aviv, Argentine Nazi government, and James Earl Ray, and the connections of James Earl Ray asking with a question mark to the Zeiger family in Italy. Now, in Ray's book, and I might have mentioned before, and I may mention it every week, Mr. McMillan, the husband of Priscilla McMillan, Priscilla Johnson McMillan, who was Oswald's contact and control in the Soviet Union, and Marina's after the assassination, Mr. McMillan asked James Earl Ray, and it's in his book, in the course of his traveling around and meeting with different people, was he familiar with or know of the Nazi Argentine connections to the killing of Martin Luther King? My time has run out now, so I'll have to continue this next week, but I think the Nugenhan, George Bush, DeLorean, Medellin, Cartel, and the Max Gomez connections are getting more interesting every day, and I think it will just keep developing until a lot of these stories come out. This is Mae Bressel. I'll be back with you next week. Thank you for all the articles you're sending me.